From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of May 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises Incorporated in Mandeville, Louisiana. In agricultural news, the National Grain and Feed Association is questioning how the CME Group's move to a 22-hour trading day will affect its members. The CFTC says the exchange has the right to make the change, but that it needs to file some paperwork and wait a few days before that happens. And the U.S. Secretary of Treasury in China this week has asked that nation to let its currency float more freely on the global market. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. At the end of the half hour, of course, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. He'll help us look at the agricultural weather forecast as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On this Thursday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day mixed. May contract in the soft red winter wheat at $6.08 and a quarter, up a penny and a quarter. July at $6.15 and a half, up one. The hard red in Kansas City for the day up 2.5 cents at $6.33 and a half. May corn futures on the afternoon 8.5 cents higher at $6.50 and three quarters. July at $6.14 and a half, up 3 cents. Then the September futures on out a bit lower for the day. 5.37 and a half, down 1 and 3 quarters in the SEP. December at 5.29 and a half, down a penny and a half. The March at 5.41 and a quarter, down 1 and 1 half. That wasn't until we get to the December contract of 2013 that we see green again, up a penny and a half at $5.39 and a half cents. May soybean futures in Chicago, $14.68 and three quarters, down 11 and a quarter cents on the day. July at 14.73 and a half, 11 and a half lower. The August at 14.52 and a half, down 13 and a quarter. And September futures at $14, down 9 and 3 quarters. November beans, a half cent lower at $13.67 and three quarters of a cent. Bean meal futures at $4.25.20, down $3.30. And bean oil at $53.80, 53 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the August at $118.55, up $2.75. The October at $123.95. The live at $252.50 higher. The August feeder cattle at $157.22 and a half, up the $3 limit, and the June lean hogs for the day, $84.92 and a half cents, up 47 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a broadcasting publication of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, nearby crude oil futures in the June contract at $102.55 a barrel, $2.67 lower. Ethanol at $2.18 and a tenth, that's 0.6 of a cent higher for the day. And the heating oil, diesel fuel, at $3.08 and 0.6 of a cent, down 5 and 0.6 of a cent. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,634.20 an ounce, down $19.20. And the dollar at 79.23, that's up 0.1. The CRB index at 301.41, down 2.67. For the afternoon, here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A high of 87 degrees with a south-southwest wind at about 18 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 25. And then tonight, a 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms this evening. Mostly cloudy and a low of 66 degrees with a southwest wind at 6 to 10 miles an hour, gusting to 16. Friday, a 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny. Friday afternoon, a high of 84 degrees with a south-southwest wind at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Friday night, the chance of showers and thunderstorms continues in the area at 40%. Mostly cloudy and a low of 64 degrees with a west-southwest wind at 6 miles an hour. And then on Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 83. Saturday night, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms and 62. That same percentage continues right on through Sunday with a high of 81. Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms and 62. Mostly cloudy skies. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Monday and a high of 75. Again, more showers and thunderstorms on Monday evening. In 55, and by the time we get to Tuesday, skies start to clear out, partly sunny, and a high of 71 degrees. Tuesday night, cloudy at 51. But the showers and thunderstorms are back on Wednesday with a high of 68 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast for you when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us from Mandeville, Louisiana, and CGB Enterprises Incorporated, Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Thank Hi, Todd.
How things in Louisiana today?
Hot and humid. I think that's the name of the game for the next 90 days down here.
It's the name of the game here in our part of the world today as well. When you look at what happened yesterday in the marketplace, do you have a good explanation? Not technically, but otherwise. I saw at least a couple of reports that might have suggested that the CFTC's change in the way margin calls are looked at for the large funds may have played a role. What did you see?
Well, that played a role, and of course, the whole thing of going to a 24-hour market, yes, we're going to be shut down for maybe 2 hours or so, but there's a whole lot of questions ever since you the CME Group announced that they were going to move ahead with this, I think, the 15th or 13th of May. It now sounds like it's going to be delayed until, like, the 20th. But, yeah, this is the trade was a buzz yesterday with all kinds of trying to figure out, you know, how it was going to start impacting, you know, cash grain traders, commercial grain elevators, co-op elevators, and all this kind of stuff. So I think that was part of it. But also a lot of the weakness, I think, yesterday in corn was attributed to talk that Argentina, that some of this corn being sold to China could originate out of Argentina. So that was part of some of the break that we saw in old crop futures yesterday.
And that lends credence, I suppose, to the break itself and for the reason that it happened. What did you see technically after the break?
Well, I think today's action, at least on the old crop months, kind of suggests that the break is completed. We'll have to see some follow-through for confirmation, but we were able to close higher after being lower. And if you look at your functionally, basically July futures contract, we basically lost half of what we gained from mid-April, and now we kind of reversed out of here. Technicians will be looking for some follow-through to see if this correction that we had yesterday, or it kind of started the day before yesterday, is complete and ready to try to move on higher again. Of course, we saw, you know, another big round of weekly export sales. So demand is definitely there for old crop inventory, and, of course, processors and everybody's having difficulty of getting their hands on cash corn inventory. So anybody in an expiring month, there's going to be probably a lot of companies try to stand for deliveries and see what happens.
Now, on the daily charts in the July, it did post, as you alluded to, I think, a nice hook up today.
Yes, a hook reversal up. Like I said, we do want to see some follow through. Now on Dease corn, Dease was at least able to come back to just, I guess, fractionally unchanged or a penny and a half lower, I guess. If you could get old crop to follow through tomorrow and maybe you could get new to go, I think the market has priced in a lot of bearishness on the crop conditions and the advancement of planting. And for the most part, favorable weather, I think upper 80s for the Corn Belt this time of year. One has to scratch his head what's ahead of us for June and July. Mm-hmm. But after the cold spell there last week, I'm sure this warm weather is making that corn really grow up there.
It is coming up. I talked to John Bondurant this morning, in fact, about his crop in Memphis. He says he has knee-high corn now. That's one thing to think about, because there will be a fairly large crop, I suppose, come out of the south. And the question is really, which direction does it head? Does it come towards you and Mandeville and the export market, or does it come north to feed ethanol plants and the livestock industry?
Well, we'll have to see how the crop develops and when harvest actually begins. But with the large export program starting to build in new crop export year, a lot of us going to be wanting to be pulled this direction. That's going to be kind of a battle between probably up north and to the export market. But, you just look at the new crop book on export sales, what they have done here over the last couple of weeks. So there's going to be a lot of that early corn is going to want to go into the export channels, because a lot of the early corn is pretty much connected to the rivers, Ohio River Valley, lower Mississippi River. So that corn is probably going to be destined to come on down to the export and feed its work its way into the export channels.
Can you turn your attention to spot bids in the Midwest and basis? When we talked yesterday to the Andersons Delphi facility, they were 37 over, and I think that was on July. But that was it seems like an extraordinary number at this time of year.
Well, it is, and of course, basis levels in Central Illinois have been very strong all year because of the demand needed in Decatur. I'm not too sure what Decatur is bidding, but they were 40 over a week ago, so they're struggling to get cash inventory like every other domestic user are, as well as exporters. So it does suggest that we're using corn at a faster pace than maybe what USDA is reflecting in their balance sheets, or the crop wasn't as big as what it suggested on last year's balance sheet. But the thing that we're going to have to wrestle with is there is no doubt we're going to have some early corn, and that's going to help cushion the transition from a very short crop year to something that at least at this point looks to be a little more plentiful.
On the futures market, does $5.29.5 in the corn pit feel like a high number for new crop corn at this point, or a low number to you?
Well,
I know the market's right at this time.
Yeah, the market's right all the time, but at this point in time, it probably is. When you, my guess is that we're going to find more acres on the June report, but that's still a couple months away yet, because the planting conditions have been just pretty ideal in the Midwest. So anybody that had any acreage at all that was planning on planting is going to go ahead and get planted to corn or soybeans. I was back home visiting my dad over the weekend, and I'm a Mercer County boy right south of the Quad Cities, which is kind of a livestock area. We do have flat and black, but we also have some rolling ground with some rivers going through the county, and just about all the pasture ground and the hay ground, what little bit was left was tore up again. So it looks to me like the price of hay is going to be awful expensive down the road. So these higher prices have definitely encouraged producers to go fence row to fence row. I guess we don't have fences anymore, so I guess we go to road ditch, I guess.
And I'm going to guess that you're thinking we're going to have both higher corn acres and higher soybean acres?
Well, I think the trade is going to look at that, and a lot of times when you have good planting seasons, I think statistics will show that acres kind of have a tendency to grow, just as the last couple years acres kind of fell off a little bit from early expectations, because we had a lot of creek bottom, river bottom ground that just never got planted last year. But this year is going to be the flip side of that. So I think that the trade is going to brace for a lot of those acres. But, at the end of the day, probably this weather pattern in the last 2 weeks of June and the first week of July is going to be just, real critical. Depending upon what kind of pattern we're in, if it's hot and dry or if we got some moisture with it.
Thank you so much, Dan, for taking the time.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the National Grain and Feed Association says the new 22-hour grain trade raises questions on the way grain elevators will handle buys from farmers and how the prices will be pegged. Grain buyers and elevators are going to deal with issues of the settlement price in the CBOT open pit, as well as a closing price on electronic trading nearly 3 hours later. Moreover, grain merchandisers could be faced with making quick market calls on USDA report days as electronic trading rolls right through release of USDA production and stocks reports. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service and its board are discussing the implications of a 22-hour trading day on the agency's report calendar. CME Group may not be allowed, though, to start its 22-hour trading period on May 14th, as the exchange announced. While CME Group is allowed to self-certify a change in the trading hours, the exchange still must file the proper paperwork with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The CFTC requires that paperwork be submitted at least 10 business days before the actual change occurs. CME has not met the time frame to file that paperwork and begin 22-hour trading on May 14th. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner today urged Beijing to let its tightly controlled currency strengthen and improve market access amid trade strains at a high-level economic dialogue in Beijing. Beijing has allowed the yuan to rise gradually, but Washington and other trading partners complain it still is undervalued, giving Chinese exporters an unfair advantage. Chinese officials have said that future gains by the yuan are likely to be limited. U.S. officials also pressed China to create a more level playing field for foreign companies by removing import barriers. OPEC wants to push oil prices back down to $100 a barrel by boosting production as it fears demand destruction. The shift in policy announced today by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries may help relieve prices that have already eased amid brimming inventories. The United Nations Food Body today sharply cut its forecast for world wheat production in 2012-13. To 675 million metric tons, down from an earlier estimate of 690 million tons, citing large declines in output from Ukraine, China, Morocco, and the European Union. However, the Food and Agriculture Organization said global wheat supplies are still expected to be adequate for the upcoming marketing year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our guest on that second program this week will be Michael Cordonnier. He's with Soybean and Corn Advisor.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's look at the cash grain market on this Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois, is on the phone line. Matt, let's start with your basis levels there. Are you as strong as everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at basis levels for this time of year that are about as good as what, you know, you could really think. I mean, on beans, we're probably running around 10 under, and then on corn, we'd be running about 20 over, so you know, we're looking at, or 20 under, so we're looking at 20 over the July, so we're looking at pretty good basis levels. So
these are very strong, and if you listen to Daryl on occasion, you'll hear him say that it could be a combination of a lack of grain, a lack of farmer movement,
right,
or great demand. One of those three items, and maybe all three of them.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination. You know, farmers are pretty tight holders. The guys that are still holding on to stuff are still kind of wondering where this thing's going to go, and especially in the case of beans, gee whiz, they've really been, taken care of quite nicely by being patient. So they're just wondering, are we going to go on through 15, and then what do we do? I don't know how many guys have asked me, what do you think prices are going to do? And I said, they go down $1.50, and you still got a heck of a price for beans. So.
Yeah, that for the old crop, and even in the November, you're still well above $13.
Yeah, exactly. We had some beans. Guys were selling beans earlier this week, around $13.70. That's a heck of a price right out of the field. I mean, I don't ever remember anybody doing that right out of the field, and selling them ahead of time like this.
What conditions feel in the fields around your area? Did you get much rainfall?
Oh, we got plenty of rain. Right here around Windsor, we probably had around 3 to 3.5 inches for the entire rain event here the last several days. And, a lot of water. One good thing about it, I guess, for a lot of guys is, the lake down here, Lake Shelbyville, was pretty low. And so anybody with any tile systems or whatnot, the water was able to get off fairly quickly. And then, to follow it up with some of this heat was probably exactly what we needed to not have too many drowned out ponds in the area. So I think most guys are pretty happy with the fact that we got rain, but we didn't get an overwhelming amount.
Right. I made a trip to my hometown in Logan County last night, drove straight west. Most of the corn, a little smaller than I expected, still just kind of peeking through a couple leaf stage, but maybe in your area bigger than that?
Yeah, a lot of the guys that got out here and planted, 20th, 25th, 26th of March is when a lot of guys started in this area. Some of that corn's getting fairly tall. It's got some size to it. But a lot of the guys that planted right there before Easter and right after Easter, this rain was a godsend for them, Some of it was making it up and some of it wasn't. And, now that we got the rain, most guys feel real comfortable that they're going to have a good enough stand, everywhere, other than maybe a pond here and there.
You'll be able to watch it grow today and tomorrow.
No doubt. You're not going to be able to do a whole lot else.
Well, you won't be able to do much else, but you can watch it grow.
Right.
The heat will make her pop. So when you talk to producers about new crop sales, do they feel comfortable with their corn sales at this point? And are you urging them to go ahead and make additional sales?
It's a great question. A lot of it depends on the producer, but I would say most guys feel like they didn't get maybe enough quite sold, earlier on. I know several of our guys, were selling last fall for this fall coming up, at $6 and above, and they're awfully happy with those sales. But, guys that haven't sold anything yet, what are we talking to them about? I think the main thing is if they're used to selling 20% ahead of time, we're still about $5. It's historically a pretty darn good price, and I wouldn't get too carried away on my sales. But if a guy wanted to make a sale and then cover it with a call, I don't have any problem with that at all.
When you look out to the June, July, maybe early August time frame, how hard will it be for end users to find corn and or beans?
Well, early August time frame, I'm not so sure some corn isn't going to be being harvested. As far as the corn goes, whenever you've got guys that have planted, all the way to the 15th of March that actually didn't get frosted off, that corn, with a normal summer, there's no question that corn will be harvested by the middle of August. So I think your late July time frame on corn is going to be where the most tightness is. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how that plays out. I know that basis levels haven't gotten nearly as carried away as far as the July and August as what they did last year yet. It's not to say that it won't, but there's been a lot of interest in buying beans for the first time in a while here in the last couple weeks, and so our basis levels have popped just a little bit, and that's been kind of a welcome thing. But it'll be interesting to see on beans, because beans might, relatively speaking, it might be a little bit of a later crop compared to what corn's going to be. So you might have more tightness in the late summertime frame with beans.
And your bids for the day?
Bids for the day on cash corn, 636. We've got an early part of September at 515 for corn, and then 505 for just a straight-up fall bid. 1463 cash beans and 1341 for fall.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes, and we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Raspberry Popover Day. The raspberry was a native bush to Turkey, and as early as the 1st century B.C. was gathered from vines at the foothills of Troy. William Prince established the first raspberry plant in nurseries in the American colonies in 1737. and Luther Burbank is credited with introducing a number of raspberry hybrids into American horticulture. On this day in agricultural history in 1654, a bridge in Raleigh, Massachusetts, began charging a toll for animals while people passed for free. In 1844, William Atwater was born, an American scientist. He developed agricultural chemistry. After receiving a Ph.D. from Yale for his studies on the chemical makeup of corn, he turned his attention to the effects of fertilizers in farming. Later, he determined the chemical makeup and nutritional values of fish and animals. In 1910, Howard Ricketts died, an American pathologist. He discovered that Rocky Mountain spotted fever is spread by cattle ticks and that typhus was caused by a similar organism carried by lice. Ironically, Ricketts died at the age of 39 in Mexico City after himself being stricken by typhus. And in 1944, most wartime meat rationing ended in the United States. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Pete Lavitt on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast with us. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd.
It's warm and wet here, and looks like it might stay that way.
Yes, it will, as a matter of fact. Above normal temperatures are in store, I think, throughout most of this coming week, and also abundant opportunities for precipitation. And this is throughout the entire Midwestern area. Much of it in the next 24 hours will be taking place from Wisconsin and Iowa eastward across the northern half of Illinois and into northern Indiana and Michigan. And with the temperatures now well up in the 80s in much of the state and the dew points having moved all the way up to just about 70 degrees in a few spots, abundant moisture there for some rapid development of thunderstorms this afternoon and this evening in that area. And we should see amounts of precipitation, fairly substantial amounts, in the 1 to 3 inch range, I would think, in the northern half of the state tonight and early tomorrow. We get into the weekend, and most of the really active stuff shifts eastward across the northern half of the state into Indiana and Ohio, still with some moisture and some heat left to generate some showers in the northern part of the state. And then by the first of next week, we've got another system coming along that will generate precipitation once again across much of the Midwest. The important thing here is that not only the eastern Corn Belt will be seeing the rain with this one, but a lot of the western Corn Belt as well. There's activity now going to take place in Iowa, Wisconsin. Then a few days after this, we're going to see the Dakotas and Minnesota chipping in with their amounts of precipitation and down into Nebraska. So a lot of concern that had existed for dry conditions being too dry for best development will probably reverse themselves, I think, during this week.
Two things that I want to check with you. In the northern areas, once in a while, we get a training effect across that northern part of the state of Illinois.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. You know, sort of the I-80 Express, I guess, here, where
right.
We get a front backing down from Wisconsin, and an east-west front will sag southward and go stationary, and these storms are coming from west to east, and so they'll train out along this front, and you'll get one after another of these systems. Some severe with some hail, but it doesn't look like the activity will be have enough dynamics aloft to generate tornadic weather, but some pretty gusty winds and some large hail is possible as well. Looking for 2 to 4 inches out of this for the northern third of the state over the next 48 hours.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Lavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.